welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm here all by myself in person in my basement, but on the FaceTime is Janine Gagliardi.
Hello. This is your first one remote?
This is my first remote podcast.
I have like a real professional setup. It's not like when you come. This is next level. Although this is kind of nice. I don't get to see the basement ever with all your stuff.
You don't follow me on Instagram?
I don't have Instagram.
Yeah, but I thought you had a creep account.
No, I don't have a creep account. you can see on Instagram, but then if you, like, you can only scroll, I think, like, two rows or something. And then it just, like, it gives you, like, a little error message, like, you have to join Instagram if you want to look anymore. Looky-loo. Basically, they're like, you're going to have to pay up if you want some of this.
Like I always said. So, we are remote because we are practicing social distance.
That's right. We're only, what, like 2 weeks in?
Yeah.
And
remember when the world wasn't like the end scene in John Carpenter's The Thing?
They were not distant enough. They were much closer than 6 feet to each other.
But it was a matter of, who are you? Do you have it? I don't fucking trust you.
I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you know about, I'm sure you do. So there's like the stuff about the breath thing.
Yeah.
So he said that wasn't intentional. But then there's the other thing about how he wasn't giving him alcohol. He was giving him like lighter fluid or something to drink.
The fuck?
Yeah. And that it was like a test. So that if he drank it and wasn't like, what the hell is this? Then Kurt Russell would know that was the alien.
Things like that are never satisfying. It's never satisfying when something's open-ended and then they give you an answer. It's only immediately right. Satisfying, but then in the long run, you're like, well, now there's an answer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Thing remake? But it's not really a remake. It's just called The Thing. It's a prequel.
Yes, that's true.
I thought it was clever. I mean, it's basically a rehash, but it's just the other base, which I always said I'd love to see that story. And then turns out I didn't love to see it. It was fine.
I saw it and I enjoyed it. And then I never thought about it ever again.
Yeah, I didn't hate it in the theater. I thought it was fine. But like, you know, it didn't dazzle me.
I'm a big fan of, you know, what's her face?
Oh, I know who you mean. Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, she's great.
Just nodding. But I always do this when we record anyway. So I'll give you nonverbal responses on an audio medium.
So how have you been doing being holed up inside social distancing? Are you going out to work? Are you?
I'm not.
Really?
Yeah. But Bill's going to work.
Well, he's essential.
He is essential.
I'm essential too.
It must make you feel special.
Yeah. It's great going out there.
It is.
It's not terrifying.
We went to the park today because we went to the park last week and it was relatively empty and the people who were there were really keeping their distance from everybody. And we felt like comfortable like bringing our toddler to like an open field area to just kind of run around because even though they haven't, I think, officially closed playgrounds, we were just like, that's probably not a good idea. So we just wanted him to get some fresh air. And so today we went because it was beautiful and we left like immediately. There were so many people at the park.
Were there marauders? Have the marauders there were started?
No, the marauding has not begun yet, but I expect it. But it was hard to stay 6 feet away from people. Like there were that many people there. So we just like cut out to the street and just like walked around the block because it was too crowded.
Wow. How old is your child? Two?
Almost two. He's about a year and a half.
How is he, has his life changed at all?
Yeah. He's not seeing his grandma. He's not seeing, you know, like relatives that usually come over to visit him. Like we're doing a lot more FaceTiming. And I noticed the other day because we were FaceTiming like with my dad and with my mom and Bill's mom that he started rubbing his eyes. And we weren't doing this back to back to back, but he was just like, everybody wants to talk to him for like a half hour and he's not even two. And he just went like, no more, no more. Like he had like fatigue, like his eyes hurt. I felt so bad.
He was like, God damn it, Janine. don't schedule my meetings back to back to back.
He's like, you know how I hate that.
Come on, God yeah, damn so it.
It's been a weird, adjustment. And then we saw our neighbors and friend of the pod, Nancy, outside with her son today. And they like to play together. And Henry was crying hysterically because we were like, nobody, sorry. And like trying to hold him. And he was like fighting us to play with him. And we were like, it just made us feel so mean because there's no way he could understand why he can't play with him.
Yeah. I work, I've mentioned this before, but I work supporting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And a lot of the people I work with are having a real hard time understanding what's going on. Because there's nothing to compare it to other than, like, in a movie. So, one day they'll be fine, and then the next day someone will call me and be like, okay, so is life back to normal? And I'm like, no.
Right, no, not yet.
And they're like, okay, when? And I'm like, oh, who knows? Maybe never.
Hey. Right, I know. And to have it, I mean, that's just, you figure for like neurotypical people, having an open-ended thing like that is really stressful. So I can't even imagine. Like today, Nancy was telling her son, who's about 2 years older than Henry, so he's going to be 4 this summer. And so he kind of understands a little bit better, but still, he came like running over because that's what he usually does. And she's like, no, buddy, remember how I said everyone's sick? Like, that was the way she told him, like,
everyone's lava.
Yeah, everyone, we have to stay away. Like, it's so, I don't know.
It's sad.
It's a bummer. And you know, you figure we have it pretty good because so far we're healthy.
Right.
And remain employed and, you know, doing a lot better than a lot of other people. But it still sucks.
Yeah, it's still bananas.
Yeah, we're not meant to live like this. We're social animals.
I know. All right, let's put that behind us now and start the show.
Now that we're out of the dumb sad shit.
This is a podcast. PCMC is a podcast all about the things you love. Popular culture, which includes books and movies and radio programs. Janine Gaglioretti, I'm so happy to have you on the show. She's waving.
I'm just gonna
hasn't just quite gonna figured out the medium yet. Sometimes she comes in costume.
Visual messages. I'm like, they're really gonna love this. Wait till they see this getup.
The puppets. So many puppets.
I should screenshot this though, so you can put it on the Insta.
Okay.
I'll send it to you. It is not flattering.
Is any picture flattering after the age of 25?
It really isn't.
No.
Oh. I'm like, oh, that's a bad picture. No, that's just my face now. That I'm this age. You know what? It's a strange byproduct of this whole thing. So, for the listeners at home, I have rosacea. And my family has always said, oh, you have such rosy cheeks, like my whole life. But they know it's like a condition that I have. Now, all of a sudden, because we're FaceTiming all the time, and I guess it's like more prominent in the FaceTimes, they're like, do you have a rash? I was like, no, I don't have a rash. That's my face. Every single one of my relatives that FaceTimed with is asking the same thing. Do you have a rash? No, but it's like here and here. I'm like, no, that is my face. That's always been my face. I don't know why it took this long to notice.
I think FaceTime enables us to actually look at each other more than we do in real life.
It's true, because you're like, you're not constantly staring at the person you're in the same room with. So now it's like you're noticing things about the other person you never really noticed before. Did you know that? You have a very busy face. Honestly, it's distracting.
Your face is like a Tony Scott movie. So you want to do some news?
Yeah.
Let's see. Jake Johnson from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and New Girl has been calling up children as Spider-Man and talking to them.
So happy that's where the sentence went.
Calling up children, .. as Spider-Man and helping them get through this time of social distancing.
That's so nice.
I know. I think he put it on Instagram like, hey, drop me a message, give me your phone number, and I'll try to call as many people as I can.
That's really cool. I mean, what else is he doing, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
What else is he doing? I think that's very cool. I want him to call me.
We'll just tell him. It's like a really
It's Michael
Large
Keaton.
Child who needs you to call him. Oh my gosh. Wait, he did that, right? He was Michael Keaton on New Girl, wasn't he?
Right. Well, they had a whole thing where they would write Schmidt as Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Oh, that was such a great episode.
Now's a great time to get into it. It's available on Netflix.
Yeah. Now's a good time to get into anything that's going to keep you indoors.
Oh, there was a great, I think it was like an Onion headline this week. It was like, people finally getting around to watching The Wire.
Oh my God. You know, I've really thought about watching The Wire.
You're not alone, apparently. Everyone's like, you know, I should get into it now.
I think I'm going to get into Avatar The Last Airbender finally.
You know, I would say you're not going to be disappointed overall, but it is, do remember it is a show primarily targeted at children, and especially in the first season or two, you feel that way. Like every couple of episodes, you'll get, you know, like storylines, but the other times it'll be kind of like throwaway episodes where they're just like busy doing stuff, you know.
Are you saying this is The Wire for children?
This is that's exactly what I'm saying. It also takes place in Baltimore. It's like it's such a great show.
Yeah, yeah. Random people get shot. Rosario Dawson has been cast as Ahsoka Tano in Mandalorian season 2.
I know. That was a cool piece of news. I like her a lot. And now what? She's been working with Disney. Well, actually no, because she was in the Marvel stuff for Netflix, but now that's all been abandoned for Disney Plus, right? Like they're not picking up any of that stuff. So I guess this is like it's probably her first Disney foray then.
Yeah, I think so.
That's cool. She's a big name to have been kept out of it for this long.
Mm-hmm. Okay, some people are happy because mm-hmm. for a long time online, people have said, oh, she would look perfect as her. She looks like the character. It would be great. Mm. But then people have put a focus on that a former employee of Rosario Dawson has sued her and her family for anti-discrimination, saying that Rosario Dawson went on a transphobic tirade Ooh. Against them.
Okay.
This is something I did not hear about until this happened. And it's right now, it's just...
I'm surprised we didn't hear about it more when Cory Booker was still running for president.
Well, you know, the Star Wars fans, they get to the bottom of things.
That's what they're known for. They've been socially distancing for a while. They have a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah. Derek Finley, I'm reading this from Showbiz Cheat Sheet, a website I have never heard of before. Derek Finley sued Dawson and her family. NBC writes that the anti-discrimination civil lawsuit alleged that Dawson and three members of her family violated Derek Finley's civil rights by discriminating against him for his transgender status. The suit seeks damages for that as well as battery, assault, emotional distress, and some other allegations. He was a handyman for the family. He says that the family misgendered him multiple times a day with deliberate indifference as to the appropriate way to address him. Also said that Dawson acted with deliberate indifference and did nothing to correct the situation. Then at some point, the suit claimed that Dawson sat on top of Finley and actively restrained him while he was on the ground to ensure that her mother could beat him. Allegedly, Rosario Dawson and her mom, like, jumped this guy?
Yikes. When was the suit, I guess, when was it? What was the outcome?
This was reported, the suit went in October or November, so nothing's happened yet.
Oh, okay. Mm.
But let's just pretend for a second that maybe that didn't really happen. I think she's a good actress. She'd be good on Star Wars.
I think, okay, I guess divorcing it from that. Yeah, I like her as an actress. I hope it's not true, just
if
for
it
both
is
of
true,
their
then,
sakes.
Like, fuck her.
Yeah, that's really, like, what are you nuts? Like, you can't do that.
Right.
But I do hope it's not true. I guess just speaking for my opinion on her casting as Ahsoka, I'm interested to see how she plays her, because I've never watched Clone Wars. Like, I've never watched that series at all. So this would be my introduction to the character. Like, I know of the character. Like, I've heard a lot about the character.
She is one of the voices that calls out to Rey at the end of Rise of Skywalker.
I did know that, yeah. But not having seen Clone... She's only in Clone Wars, right?
No, she's in Clone Wars. She's in Rebels.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch Rebels either.
She is... And, like, multiple books and comics and stuff. She's, like, one of the biggest characters that's not in the movies.
That hasn't been in there. She's, like, the new Dash Rendar. Except yes. She has been in the visual media.
Well, she was Anakin's Padawan.
Padawan, right? Yeah. I did know that. So, I mean, I'm interested in learning more about the character.
And she called him Sky Guy. She'd be like, hey, Sky Guy. Finger guns.
Cool. She's like, oh God, what is it? Pinky Tuscadero?
Yes.
You remember her with like the Fonz?
Exactly correct.
Like kid sister Fonz. She was kid sister Anakin.
So I hope Rosario Dawson didn't do that stuff.
Boy, I hope she doesn't go to jail for all that instead of being on The Mandalorian. I hope she doesn't sit on Baby Yoda so that someone can beat him.
But you heard it here first, folks. Janine supports her either way.
I've boldly made a claim. That's it. Verbatim. That's what I said.
Anyway, so what do you know about...
TERF Janine Gagliardi has said this.
Well-known transphobe.
Oh, no.
No, just kidding. What? All right, Janine. When I say hashtag release the butthole cut...
I'm sorry.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
All right. So, a year ago, 2 years ago... People who were fans of Zack Snyder, go figure, wanted his version of Justice League to come out.
Okay.
Calling it the Snyder Cut.
Does it exist, though? I mean, he had to wrap work pretty quickly.
No, it was just like a work print. It wasn't really a movie.
Okay, so...
Right.
All right, I feel like I heard of that.
So then, with The Rise of Skywalker, supposedly there was a version that J.J. Abrams preferred that fans started to call the J.J. Cut. Well... One of the filmmakers involved with the movie Cats has said there was a version of the film where they had digital buttholes.
Oh, no.
And they took them out because it made the movie even more frightening than it is. And this, of course,
I really, really, really hope we can do outdoor movies this summer. Like, I hope things have calmed down enough because I really want to do Cats outside.
Well, hashtag release the butthole cut.
The butthole cut.
Do you think the Blu-ray will have the butthole cut extra?
I only think like the Criterion Collection version is going to have the butthole cut.
Yeah. Criterion Collection adds buttholes to everything. Did you ever see the butthole cut of Casablanca?
Oh, I mean, you haven't really seen the movie until you've seen the butthole cut.
Oh my God.
So it's gorgeous.
So that's ridiculous.
That's insane. But it's... If it was any better of a movie, I'd be like, that's not true, but it's...
You know they did it.
I believe it's out there.
You know they did it.
Oh, God.
Of course they did it. Of course they did.
It's so insane. Those poor VFX artists who already got shit on at the Oscars, having to digitally add buttholes, or remove the buttholes to these cats.
You know they were like, to the director, I'm sorry, what do you want me to put in? You want me to...
It's called realism.
All right, it's your dime. You want me to put a butthole in Dame Judi Dench? That's on you, buddy.
Oh my God! Now you know how like Colin Trevorrow's Star Wars movie was canceled after they saw how bad the Book of Henry was.
Yeah.
Do you think Tom Hooper will ever work again, or like have his upcoming films been scrapped already?
I think he'll be in movie jail for a while.
Mm.
But he'll get out.
They need somebody to direct a shitty musical.
Yeah. When they finally make a musical out of Oklahoma.
Starlight Express. Carousel.
So you haven't seen Cats at all?
No.
It is bad,
mm-hmm.
as you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting looking, and memories is the best part.
I believe it.
Just like the show.
I've never seen the show either. outside of a resort, like a Caribbean resort musical review where they did a bunch of musicals and then they did Cats. And, you know, that's always the fun part because they come into the audience. That's my exposure to Cats.
When they take that musical review you saw in the Caribbean and they make that into a movie, that's what the director of Cats will direct next.
That's it. Oh my gosh. It's always like, you know the musicals that are in it. It was Cats, it's Grease, it's like all the big ones that do like the touring around the country, like those are the ones they include.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So because of movie theaters being closed, a lot of new released films are going straight to on demand and bypassing movie theaters.
I'm excited to see Onward.
Me too.
I wasn't going to see it in theaters, but now I'll see it because it's on Disney Plus.
Me too. I like this idea. I have a fear that this will be very financially successful. And
I agree, actually. I think it will be more successful than, because people aren't really going to the movies in droves.
So then my fear would be that when the world rights itself again, the theater industry, which is already struggling, will sort of go away. So The Invisible Man is available on demand. The Gentleman, Onward, as you said, The Way Back, that movie with Ben Affleck.
Right.
And then a lot of other movies that were coming out have been pushed back.
Yeah, so Bond, I think, was pushed back till the fall, right? Fast and the Furious was pushed back a full year. So it's now going to come out next spring in 2021. And then there's some that are just like indefinitely on hold. Like I think Mulan, they pushed back, but they didn't give a date to that yet.
Also, a lot of movies and TV shows have just halted filming. Well, that's the whole thing with this whole pandemic is you can't guess how the world will change because the longer it lasts, the more the world will change. If this lasts 9 months, on the other end of it could be an entirely different kind of world.
Yeah. Well, The Atlantic had an article today about four potential timelines that the experts are talking about. And the shortest one is 1 to 2 months from now. And the longest one is 12 to 18 months.
I feel that's very irresponsible because when you conceive of different timelines, they come into being. You know what I mean?
And there's a lot of variables. So it's like...
So were they... Was the one that's 18 months away the most nightmarish?
No, but it was entirely dependent on widespread access to a vaccine, which a lot of people are saying is not necessarily how it's going to go down. Like widespread access to a vaccine at its earliest is a year away, but there's still other options. Like there's widespread access to testing that can occur a lot sooner than widespread access to vaccines. And that would help alleviate a lot of it. Herd immunity, not so much, because then a bunch of people would have to get sick. But there's also like, it might cycle out over the summer and then rebound in the fall. So then it's like, we kind of have to go away and then it would spike. So then we kind of have to do the social distancing thing again. That honestly is what I think is probably going to end up happening because people aren't going to stay inside all summer. Just seeing how they were today on like a 70 degree day, they're going to be out. So I don't know. I mean, it is frustrating to just be like, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But at least I don't have millions of dollars riding on it like a studio.
Yeah. Well, somehow we got back here, and I'm sorry.
You know what, though? I look at these things like it's a time capsule.
Yeah.
Right? Like, these podcasts will always be, even though you don't typically do, like, national or international current events, this is so affecting, like, every area of our lives, including pop culture, that it's impossible not to talk about it. And I'm sure you'll be talking about it for the next few episodes, you know, for as long as this goes on. And I'm curious to see all of the, like Bill and I were talking today about all of the like sociologists and the anthropologists who are going to study this.
Oh yeah, this is going to be like a big event for the rest of history. Like, do you remember when this happened?
Yeah. I remember as a kid reading history books and being like, oh man, I didn't live through the Revolutionary War or like pioneer times. Like I just lived during like boring now, nothing happens. And boy, was I wrong. Like we've been through some stuff in our lifetime already.
I know. We really have. Well, I just thank God at a time like this we have such great leadership in the White House.
I thought you were going to say such great programming on television. I was like, me too.
JK, he's the worst.
Oh my God. I am so, so happy that the guy from Home Alone 2 and the rich kid's dad from Little Rascals is the president.
You mean Donald Trump, the star of Ghosts Don't Do It, A Ghost Can Do It, or whatever the fuck that movie is? He's in some movie about sexy ghosts.
Oh my God. Don't start, because you know how I feel about sexy ghosts.
I know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get you riled.
It's too much for me. I can't handle it right now.
All right, let's go to Trailer Corner. Let's talk about Soul, the new Pixar movie.
Oh, that trailer has made me cry every time I watched it.
Is that true?
It's true. When she asks him, well, I guess we should talk about what the movie is, but when she asks him, like, is all this living worth dying for? And he's like, yeah. I'm always like, oh, because they're showing like images from his childhood and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is too much.
I know.
So it's Pixar. It's then their next, what, animated feature, I guess. I don't know if it's going to be released theatrically. We'll see. It's supposed to come out, what, this summer, I think?
Yeah.
It's Jamie Foxx is the star. He's the main character. And Tina Fey. He's a middle school music teacher. And he's a jazz musician. And he, on the day he scores this big gig, he falls into an open manhole and presumably dies. His soul shows up among all these other souls climbing up a big staircase going to this light. And he's like, no, I'm not ready. And then somehow escapes and then goes to the place where, like, the great before, where he meets the soul, like pre-soul 22, who does not want to go to Earth. And he's like kind of voiced by Tina Fey, whom I love. And he's trying to convince her that Earth is actually great and she should want to go. And then I guess in the course of this, they find out that he's actually still alive.
Yeah, he's like on life support.
So the really cool thing about this is it seems like they're getting very experimental with the animation.
I like how the angels look kind of like cubist doodles. They're like single line doodles, but like...
Right, like it's one like connected line to draw right. The entire thing. It's very angular. There's one point where he's falling through like... It looks like dimensions, and it kind of reminds me of when they go into like the alternate realities or something in Inside Out, where they change the animation style, where he and it's Pete Docter. It is the director of Inside Out. It does feel very reminiscent of Inside Out, but it's also because it's just like these really heady concepts.
Well, Inside Out was very, very, I think, deliberately colorful. It's like candy, where this has a real ethereal kind of blue haze to it. And I don't mean blue like in a Zack Snyder way where it's monotonous. It's like, it's this sort of like.
But it does have a monochrome look to it where it's all shades of blue. And it's all like variations of this thing. Although it's not.
It's relaxing to look at.
It's very interesting looking. Yeah. But when he breaks through that barrier, whatever it is, it's all like black and white and really like linear and crazy looking.
I think it is. It does look like a step forward for their animation. And I like the idea.
So, you know, it looks interesting. I think their Pixar is obsessed with death, though. Like they need to calm down a little bit.
I wonder how more conservative members of the audience will take Pixar's version of an afterlife.
Well, I mean, they keep doing afterlife stuff. Like Coco was all afterlife. It was a totally different representation, I imagine, because it was very, very grounded in like interpersonal relationships and relatives and family and like almost in a, because it's like, you know, it's a Mexican tradition, so it's almost like a Catholic tradition, and there was a lot of that kind of iconography in it. Whereas this seems really like more philosophical and connected to, I don't know, these like bigger non-religious ideas. So I don't know. They do death a lot, though. They deal with death quite a bit.
Well, I guess like even going back to Toy Story and Bug's Life, I feel like Pixar has always been about showing you a world that exists along with our world that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Toys, bugs, superheroes, cars. So I really like Inside Out, so I have hope that this will be a good movie.
Me too. I often worry, though, like what, not that I don't enjoy the films. I do very much. But I wonder, like, what children are getting out of these. I wonder how enjoyable it will be. I'm not sure. Like with Inside Out, we went to see it and there were a lot of kids in the theaters and they seemed to enjoy it and like get messages from it. But I guess it's just like these are movies that will grow with them because they always do include like funny little comedy things. Like in the trailer, he's like pooping.
Yeah, I thought that actually
like,
funny.
Right out, which I'm sure like kids will love. I love that. You know? And then adults will be like, wow, this is really deep.
I'm still waiting for that just groundbreaking, insane Pixar movie. You know, something that really pushes it.
They are kind of always pushing it, though. Like, whether it's the animation style or thematically.
I don't think thematically they do that deal much, to be honest with you.
Really? Because I feel like dealing with death in this way is something that would never fly at another studio for a children's movie.
Yeah, but it's still in the family genre. You know, I would love to see them do something truly dramatic. I'd love to see them do something that is just about human beings in the world and not about something fantastic. Or something very violent or something very scary. I wonder how many Pixar animators worked on Love, Death, and Robots.
Oh, I mean, sure, you'd be able to look it up, but yeah, if they'd want to do that. I don't think they'd ever be able to do that for Pixar unless they took a different, unless Pixar took a real turn, because that doesn't seem to be on brand for them at all. But not that they're not capable of doing it. Like, you can see they have a real flair for drama in their films, as is. You know, it reminds me of the opening montage for Up, which is another movie kind of obsessed with death, but it tells the story of a marriage. You know, it's just a marriage in a few moments, which is incredible. And you get that kind of depth from a very, very brief moment.
I think that movie goes downhill after that.
I agree. I completely agree. I like all the stuff with the bird, but it's like, wow, you started with this insanely powerful montage and then, you know, it all kind of goes downhill from there. Although whenever he talks to the house, I'm always like, oh, I know. God, my heart.
Well, since we're talking about animation that isn't being original, let's talk about the trailer to The Solar Opposites.
Yeah, that's
weird.
It's super weird. It's like the exact, like, do they have the same animators? It's like the exact same animation style. Oh, so Solar Opposites is the new show coming to Hulu.
From Justin Roiland.
And now, I wasn't sure if he was just going to be a voice, but he just sounds like Rick on the show. And Thomas Middleditch is another voice. And I mean, I guess
Rick and Morty is Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon.
Dan Harmon.
And
this
new show is animated. It is science fiction. It is the exact same style. Like, exact.
I thought it was the same house. Like, it looks like their house.
It's so close. I was like, is this a spinoff? Is this... And I don't think it is. My guess, and I have no insider knowledge of this, just is just my guess. My guess is that Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon don't get along as well as they could. Because Dan Harmon's an irascible alcoholic. And maybe this is like, I'm going to do my own thing and I won't be held back.
Oh, I definitely think that. Bill and I were watching the trailer and Bill's like, well, now we know Dan Harmon's the one who takes forever because Justin Roiland, like, you know, shat this out while they're doing
this last
season.
But I feel like you need Dan Harmon to have story and character because...
I agree because this does not seem nearly...
Yeah, because Justin Roiland is just bananas.
Like, just based on the trailer, it looks...
He's just House of Cosby's.
It just looks really dumb. I'm hoping it's not, but it doesn't look nearly as smart as Rick and Morty does.
But it looks funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get like a genuine laugh during the trailer. I was like, huh, okay.
That's true. We'll see.
I also just don't feel like it's different enough. Like you were saying, thematically, it seems very similar. It's like this family of aliens that are like trying to fit in on Earth. The animation style is identical. The backgrounds, the houses, the house where they live looks like The house where Morty lives.
It's gotta be a lot of people from Rick and Morty working on it, because I recognize one of the other voices as well.
Okay. And it's Justin Roiland, who does a lot of voices on Rick and Morty, but I would say he's not... I like him very much as a voice actor, but I wouldn't put him on par with, like, the Simpsons voice actors who can voice, like, you know, 40 characters and they all sound different. Like, he sounds like Rick in the show.
Yeah, he's got two kind of modes, Rick or Morty.
Mm-hmm. Or if you watch Adventure Time, Lemon Grab. But Lemon Grab is like a high-intensity Morty.
Well, he's also the time cop in Gravity Falls.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's right.
I'll watch it all. I'll binge it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I mean, you got to watch something waiting for the next season. Or the next half of the season.
Check out the Rick and Morty episode that me and Amelia did recently.
It was a good one. It was a very good one.
So then we watched the, I guess, announcement trailer for Star Wars The High Republic.
Yeah, that was weird. That was like more of a like a featurette. It was a trailer for a graphic novel series, a comic series.
No, it's novels, graphic novels, video games. It's everything but movies at this point.
Okay. Well, again, I'm going to bring Bill into this. We were watching it and Bill's like, wow, they just gave themselves 20 years of IP. Like, if they're, you know, they're all working on this because... It's like, well, what else do we have to draw from? Let's just make it all up. And let's not do something like we just did where we had no clue where it was going from one movie to the next. Like, let's create
a canon. It's set 200 years before The Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. So that really opens them up to kind of do whatever they want.
It's very interesting. The artwork looks really cool. They're bringing in very big names.
Very diverse group of creators.
I know you really like Claudia Gray, right?
She's a great Star Wars writer.
The artist who designed Darth Maul is doing a lot of the character designs.
Yeah.
So a lot of like really, really cool people are doing it. They do. I did feel like they showed the only people of color in the room multiple times during the trailer because they're like, it's diverse voices. I'm like, I see the same two people over and over and over again in this room. I was like, you're not fooling anybody. But I'm glad those two people are there. So I was like, wow, yeah. They showed a lot of really cool looking artwork. I like the concept of like the old, I don't know, is this Knights of the Old Republic or is it even predating
that? I think that is not canon anymore.
Oh, okay. Because they did say, you know, we're dealing with the Jedi Order during a time of like great peace in the galaxy. And so this is like the idealized, like golden age of the galaxy. And we're dealing with like Jedi who are essentially like the Arthurian knights of this universe, which I think is, I mean, I'm a big King Arthur fan. So I really like that idea. Concept.
And it's kind of what I've been wanting them to do for a while. Just do something different. Mm. Just go ahead and dive into this giant world. I'm excited. In the actual trailer, one of the producers says the word incubator. He's like, this could be an incubator for things to come. Which to me sounds like if this is successful, we're going to see movies and TV shows. And this could be Star Wars, like Bill said, for the next 20 years.
Yeah, because they're not going to give up the property now. Like, why would they? But they position themselves as like, we're not doing the Skywalker saga anymore. Like, we're done with the Skywalker saga. Let's do something else. Which I like because I think The Mandalorian is the most exciting Star Wars thing we've gotten in a really long time.
Which bring me back to Rosario Dawson. I'm a little afraid that season 2 is going to try to tie too much into things.
Oh, yeah. I see that. Because
it's like,
all right,
like... Are we going to have an episode where we meet fucking Jar Jar? Are we going to have an episode where we come across a baby Rey? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, they have to be careful with that.
They have a hard time controlling themselves.
They do. They do. And, you know, people are clamoring for it. And then they see it and then they're like, oh, that.
Right. Give me the fan service. Oh, wait, no, I don't want that.
No, you know, forget it. I don't actually want that.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back with a chill sesh. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm joined today by Miss Janine Gagliardi. Janine, this is a chill sesh.
I'm chilling.
We've been stuck inside. What have you been doing? What have you been watching and reading and stuff? Or are you too busy raising your child?
I'm very busy raising my child. I think one of my favorite post-quarantine tweets has been like, quarantined when you don't have children, it's like so much fun. You can do whatever you want just as long as you stay inside. Quarantined with children is a hostage situation. You have to keep them entertained all the time. I mean, you don't actually. Like, he's actually been playing on his own a little bit because I'm like, sorry, like we have stuff to do. Like, we gotta cook and do all kinds of different
things.
Don't
be so needy, kid.
He's been doing it, but let's see what we have been watching. We did season 3 of The Crown.
I've not watched any of that.
Super highbrow. I think it's still Netflix's most expensive show. Because they basically like rebuilt Buckingham Palace for it, which is incredible.
Wow.
They've now changed, in this season, they've changed actresses for Elizabeth. So now it's played by Academy Award winner Olivia Colman.
That's a real stretch for her.
It is. I loved her on Doctor Who. Do you remember that episode with her? It was like the first Matt Smith episode. Which is funny because Matt Smith has played Prince Philip in the first 2 seasons of The Crown.
Well, there's only like 12 actors in the UK.
I know, it's true, it's true. So I don't know. It's a kind of, on, to be honest, it's kind of a slow season, but it's very calming and it's really nice to look at. So I think it's good pandemic watching because it's a lot of like quiet British accents and really beautiful sets and costumes. So that's nice. And then this afternoon we watched the first episode of the polar opposite of The Crown, which is Netflix's new documentary miniseries, Tiger King, Murder and Mayhem.
Everyone's talking about this. Is it good?
I'm only one episode in and it's already bananas. Like, it's just the most insane, trashy thing you've ever seen in your life. One of my favorite podcasts, Last Podcast on the Left, about a year ago, when this story broke, did a couple of episodes dedicated to this guy, Joe Exotic. And so I feel like a Joe Exotic hipster because, like, I've been following this story for a year. And now Netflix came out with this documentary. And now, like, the rest of the country is getting on board with Joe Exotic. It is, he's a magician.
Yeah.
He's a big cat, like, Tiger and Lion Park owner.
Yes.
He is a country music singer. He is a firearm enthusiast. He is a he's a gubernatorial and presidential candidate. I think his campaign video is like the most exciting thing to maybe ever happen to politics. His campaign video opened with he's like, I'm gayer than a $3 bill, I live with tigers, and I am running for governor of Oklahoma.
That's fantastic.
He's incredible. But
how many episodes is it?
I don't know, actually. I'm not sure how many it is. We're actually planning on Netflix party watching it tomorrow with our friends. And it just seems like the most batshit thing to do, show to watch. So I'm excited. And then on the Nintendo Switch, we've been just like online playing with our friends, playing Mario Kart.
Oh, okay. You're not playing Animal Crossing?
No, I'm not.
I've been watching a lot. I watched all of HBO's Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. So that was something that we were both talking about, like, being intimidated to get into. But now's a great time to get into it.
Well, it's only, like, 9 episodes.
Okay. And it's just one season. It's just going to be one season, right?
He doesn't want to do another season. He's like, I'm done. We did it. One season. It's over.
That's great. Do you feel like it's a standalone thing?
Well, it's its own story, but there's no way you'd understand it without having read the book.
Okay.
No way. Because you have to know about the giant squid.
Okay.
You have to understand that Robert Redford is the president.
Okay.
And Rorschach and all that. Mm-hmm. But it's very good. The way that it plays with the history of superheroes in that world is very good. Regina King is really good. And really, for me, the best part is Jeremy Irons as Ozymandias.
He's a great casting for Ozymandias, I think.
He hasn't had this much fun since The Lion King.
That's incredible. That's so maybe good. My favorite Disney performance.
He's perfect as Ozymandias because he's sort of like sad and old. He saved the world, he thinks, but he also killed millions of people. Yeah. No one knows about him anymore. He's kind of a genius, but also dumb.
Oh, that's kind of perfect for where the name Ozymandias comes from.
Where does it come from?
Nobody knows about him anymore. It's a poem. I think it's a Coleridge poem. And it's like this traveler in the desert comes upon a broken down statue. And I think it's only like the pedestal of the statue. So the statue doesn't even exist anymore. And the statue says on the base, it says like my name is Ozymandias, basically like look upon my works and weep. Like, it's Percy Bysshe Shelley. It's not Coleridge. So one of the romantics. So anyway, it's like the statue he comes upon, and it's supposed to be like this for this great civilization, but there's nothing there. It's in the middle of the desert. Everything's gone. So
that is perfect.
I always thought that was like an interesting name for it, but that's cool that like nobody knows who he is anymore.
Also, a statue was a big part of his storyline in the season.
Okay. So then it must be very intentional.
Yeah. It's very smart. It's very much worth it if you've read the book, which I haven't read the book in like 10 years. So even I was like trying to remember things, like having to go back and sort of read some shit.
Yeah. I haven't read it in a while either. I've read it twice. And the second time I read it, it was only a couple years in between. And I was like, wow, I don't remember a lot of this.
A lot happens in it.
Yeah. Like I remember the broad strokes stuff
right. That
happens. And then when I go back, I'm like, oh shit. Like that was okay. I did not remember that part.
One of the things that's cool about the series is if you remember the book, there's the pirate story.
Yes.
That's sort of in the background.
Yeah.
In the show, they have their own version of that, which is it's a TV show that everyone's watching, and it's called American Hero Story, like American Horror Story or American Crime Story.
Okay.
And it's the story. It's a American Hero Story is a fictionalized story of the Minutemen.
Oh, cool.
And that's sort of always in the background. We see clips of that. It's very cleverly used.
That's really interesting.
You can tell that, well, this is funny. This goes back to something we've talked about before about faithful adaptation. Even though this is a sequel and it's its own story, I feel like Damon Lindelof is more faithful to what The Watchmen is than Zack Snyder was.
In trying to like recreate panels?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because he took out the giant squid. Because he was like, it's stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it works in the context of the story. But that's the thing. I don't think his instincts were wrong when you're making a movie for like a mainstream audience who aren't necessarily coming in having read the book and understanding how weird and nuanced it is. And they're just coming in for like a big superhero movie, you know, like
they'll buy whatever you give them.
I mean, I don't know. I think I knew a lot of people who had never read the book who went to see it and were like, oh, okay. And, you know, it didn't occur. Like, if they saw a giant squid, they'd be like, what the hell?
But
like,
it doesn't make sense what he did because he makes it Dr. Manhattan did it. Or it looks like Dr. Manhattan did it. And how would that end the Cold War? Wouldn't that just make Russia mad at America?
I think it would have been like America could turn around and say, oh, see, we didn't know he was actually a bad guy all along. So now they have a common enemy.
I guess.
Anyway, I mean, it's not a good movie. It's not a good adaptation, so...
The squid is a big part of the show.
That's good.
There's I think episode 1 or episode 2, very early on, they're, like, driving, and you hear, like, an alarm sound, and everyone kind of pulls over, and it's raining, but then you see it's raining baby squids.
What?
The first couple episodes before they explain things are just bananas. It's so good. Gosh.
I gotta check it out.
Yeah, Ozymandias just, you know, every like couple of months rains baby squids in the world just to keep people on their feet.
Just to keep people like, okay, well, it's still a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're living in a post-squid world.
We certainly are. The other day I was saying, and not trying to be glib, but maybe the coronavirus is like our squid moment. Like we could all come together.
We can't come together though.
Well, right. Not physically.
We can all stay away from each other.
Emotionally come together.
Oh, my gosh. Bill was listening to 1010 Wins on the way home the other day, and it was like, rape is down over 60%. Cool. like, wonderful, I guess. Just to keep the Reapers at home.
Me and my brother Anthony saw Invisible Man.
Yes.
I thought it was awesome.
I've heard really great things. I'm excited. I will watch it on VOD.
I'm not that familiar with the original one. I love Universal Monsters, but I was more like a Frankenstein Wolfman guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this one sort of is like, people keep saying it's like Invisible Man for the Me Too world. And yeah, it's kind of like that in that it's basically about gaslighting.
Right, right. That's what I've heard.
He faced his own death and then mm-hmm. is torturing her as the Invisible Man. And she can't really tell anybody because she sounds insane.
Right.
It's real. It's very suspenseful, too. Like, you'll really, there's no cheap jump scares. You'll feel genuine suspense.
I like that. I'm excited to see it. I like the take on it. And I like the director, too. Lee Wannell.
What else have they done?
He's actually responsible for the Saw franchise and then Insidious. I think he did the first Insidious.
Oh, I like some of the Insidious movies.
Mm-hmm. I like the first Insidious. I think it falls apart in the second half. Not falls apart, but it has a stronger first half. But I like him as a writer. Like, he's primarily a writer, but then he's taken over directing things.
Yeah.
And I've seen him in a lot of interviews, and he did like some Screen Junkie stuff, like just for fun. And he just seems like a cool person. And I really liked his interviews for this film because yeah. he seemed to really, really be taking like, speaking of domestic violence, like domestic violence victims accounts very seriously and saying like, I'm not a woman. I cannot tell a woman's story. So it was really important to me to collaborate with a lot of women on this story to try to get like a point of view. And it seems like he nailed it. So that's good.
I think so. It's funny. One thing I love about the first Insidious is it does something that I always wanted haunted house movies to do, which is they move.
Yeah, they move. Right. It's the most logical thing. It's
They're like,
let
you
me
know
get
what?
Out
this
of
shit's
there.
Haunted. Let's move.
Let's just get out. And it's I absolutely loved that about the movie. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
They're haunted.
Because in every other haunted house movie, like, there's clearly haunted shit happening, and then dad's like, it's in your imagination, don't worry.
I'm sure it's fine, yeah.
The wall bleeds like that all the time, the house is settling.
It's like, because for the dad, the horror movie is the money pit, and so he doesn't want to leave the house, because he's so financially tied up in it.
Yeah, really. Oh, you know what I've been really getting into?
Mm-mm.
It's not an official obsession, but I am obsessed with it. Since Disneyland and Disney World have been closed.
Yeah, you guys went right under the wire.
Yeah, I know.
Like you got out of there like Escape from New York style.
I really did. People have been making their own rides inside their houses.
I've seen this. Like, they put
TikTok
their babies
mostly
in like laundry baskets and they'll like move them around in front of the screen. That's really fun. Bill's have like, I'm doing that with Henry.
Have you ever seen Be Kind, Rewind, the Michel Gondry movie?
Yeah, I have.
It's kind of like the way they make the sweeted movies in that movie. Like, they make their own versions of it cheaply.
Right. It's like very low tech.
Right.
But very creative.
Yeah, like, someone had a good one where they did Pirates of the Caribbean. And, like, they kind of did every part, but, like, in their living room. It's really,
That's
really,
really cool.
Like, when they, like, when there's that first sort of dip in Pirates, they went down their stairs on a rug.
That's fantastic.
Somebody did the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, that's fun.
And
they just have a haunted house.
When they did the stretching room, they just drew a picture of the paintings and like just pulled it off.
That's really cool.
I'm loving all the ingenuity. I'm enjoying it.
That's a lot of creativity. The one I saw was I guess it was on Reddit, and I think Disney also made some of their like rides available virtually. So this parent had like a projector screen, and they were projecting the Slinky roller coaster on the screen. And then they had like a very small child in a laundry basket, and they were like picking them up and doing the dips with them in front of the screen. So it was like they were riding it.
I love that. I love it. Today I saw I don't know if it was Disney official, but someone on Twitter released a picture of Mickey Mouse sitting alone on a bench.
Oh.
It was a little heartbreaking.
All of his money.
He's losing millions.
Oh my gosh. I guess he could quarantine with Minnie, but technically they live next door. They're neighbors.
Yeah, and depending on the cartoon, sometimes they live in houses, sometimes they live in apartments. Whatever the story needs.
Right. Or they, I guess, live in the clubhouse. Although they all seem to travel to the clubhouse every day and then leave the clubhouse at the end of the day. So
they're also in that Zach Morris, Kelly Kapowski thing where they're always kind of not quite dating yet, but also on their first date.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Mickey's still worried about like not having the date fucked up and like impressing Minnie.
Yeah. Even though they've been together for like years.
Yeah. Even though if it was realistic, he'd be like so angry at her. He'd be like, wow, polka dots again. That's great.
She's like, you gonna put her shirt on today or no, we're not doing that. That's cool.
Okay. You know, you're starting to look a lot like your mother.
Well, it's also your mother. So there's that.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Candyman?
I did. I've seen it. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the original? I haven't seen the original.
I've seen the original. Yeah. A long time ago. I feel like I don't remember enough about the original Candyman. I think I saw it when I was like 15.
Okay.
But I don't know. It reminds me a lot of the It adaptation.
Oh, okay. How?
I feel like visually it kind of looks like it.
Well, you can see that it's got that Jordan Peele money behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks very sleek. It looks good.
Is Tony Todd in it, though? Is it a sequel? Is it a remake?
Oh, is Tony Todd the guy who played Candyman? The original Candyman? I don't know. I don't even know if he's alive anymore, actually. I feel like I might have.
Oh, no. Did we lose Tony Todd?
I don't know.
Wait, I got to look this up now.
You want to look it up? Okay. I don't know if I heard that he died. I hope not.
Isn't he also in the Final Destination movies?
Oh, maybe.
I think he is. Tony Todd, IMDb. He's still alive.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad. Well, maybe he'll show up then. Oh, that was a close one. That was a close one.
Yeah. All right, do you want to take a break?
Just to recover from that, yeah. That scare.
Let's take a break and we'll come back with obsessions.
Thank you for that.
Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Madrona. I'm joined by Janine Gagliardi. Janine.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
This is Obsessions.
All right.
I'm doing something that I've never done before.
What are you doing?
As we're recording, I'm actually playing my obsession.
Oh?
Yes, I'm obsessed with Doom Eternal.
Oh my gosh.
Right now, I saw a meme today that was like, there are two types of gamers right now. Doom mm-hmm. people and Animal Crossing people.
And the two shall never meet.
I know. Doom is fantastic. Have you ever played any of the Doom games?
No, but I saw the movie in theaters for okay, some reason.
Well, let's forget about that for now. That doesn't count. Wait, you saw it in theaters? What's the story behind that?
I don't know. I just wanted to go to the movies that weekend, I guess. I feel like that was a time in my life.
Good enough excuse.
I feel like that was a time in my life when we would just go to the movies every weekend, no matter what was out, and then just kind of just see something.
All right. That's excusable.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a Rock joint.
Yeah, it was. It was The Rock. So, you know, it's one of his early forays. And then at the end, it turns into a first-person shooter, which is weird.
For like 5 minutes, though, right?
Yeah, it's strange. It's strange. Is it representative of the game overall, like the story?
Not really.
Okay.
What's good about the games are there's barely any story.
Oh, okay.
It's you're a soldier, you're in hell, or hell on earth. You're in hell, basically.
Okay.
And you just keep getting bigger guns as they keep coming out with bigger bad guys, and it's just an onslaught of waves of bad guys. That's it. There's no story. It's just you go from one setting to the next, and they just throw bad guys at you, and you just blow them up or rip them apart, saw them in half. It's fantastic.
That sounds like gets out a lot of demons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you ever play video games?
I just played one the other night. I mean, Mario Kart. Like, we'll play that. Smash Brothers.
I've actually never played Smash Brothers.
I love Smash Brothers.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. It's a lot of fun. It has very high replay value.
I played one version of it and I wasn't good at it. I don't think I understood it. I was like, why do we keep flying around so much?
I feel like it's a lot of visual information, but once you get the hang of it, it's, I don't know. I find that it becomes addictive and it's a lot of fun.
When you play Mario Kart, what character do you like to play as?
I usually like to play as Toad, but I was playing with Bill and then our friends and somebody picked Toad already. So bastards. I was the Lakitu character and I never played them before, but I actually really like them. For me, it's like a lot about the weight of the character.
You're playing the Switch one?
They were playing the Switch.
I like that you get to customize everything, like the
oh, me too. Like the sail and the tires and like whatever you have. I don't feel like I have enough control in the bikes, so I tend to use a car.
Yes.
I don't know. I actually really like the Lakitu's weight. I find that he's light but heavy enough to do more controlled drifts. So he's a pretty good character. I'm going to use him again.
In the original game, I always played as either Toad or Peach.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because of the
lightness. Originally, I always played Toad because I used to play it so much more often that I knew the courses by heart. So you could go extremely fast with Toad.
Right.
Because he's so light.
Right, right, right.
Mm.
In the new one, I often play as Mario in the skunk suit.
Oh, okay.
Just because he's adorable.
He's so cute. What is he? It's like Tanaki Mario or something? Yeah, it's very cute. I like all the Koopa kids, too. They're adorable.
Yeah. All right, what's your current obsession?
I wanted to say Tiger King, but I'm really not far enough into it to be obsessed with it. But I feel like I will be obsessed with it. But like the rest of America, I am obsessed with the Cuomo brothers.
Are you?
And I'm obsessed with their banter and their back and forths on Chris Cuomo's show.
So that, all right. Why? Because I got to tell you, that clip kind of annoyed me.
There's multiple clips. So which ones did you see?
The one where the governor seems like he's not into it.
He always seems like he's begrudgingly on the show and he does not want to be there.
And he's like, that's part of what I love.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny. I think I saw, I don't know if it was Atlantic or what, but there was an interesting article.
Mm-hmm.
Cuomo is more of a leader than Trump is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
People in the rest of the world look to Cuomo because the president's a big fucking clown.
Well, they're saying it for a number of reasons. Not only for his, like, taking it very seriously and responding very quickly, but also because, so they're just saying, like, the way Cuomo talks is extremely decisive and people respond really well to that.
Yeah.
So they like that he's just, you know, making very decisive statements and kind of not, you know, waffling about things. And also they're saying that worldwide people are responding to his accent and that people with like a heavier New York accent are seen as like, I guess, decisive and tough in that way. So people are really looking to him, which is kind of funny. But it's just like the weird, their back and forths are insane. They're like, they remind me of the Fratellis, like from the Goonies.
Okay.
They're like always talking about their mother. They're like always vying for like who's the favorite son.
Oh,
and
my
then
God. Yeah.
It's so wild. He'll be like, "Mom told me I had to do the show." And he's like, she's like, "Well, Mom told me I was the favorite son." He's like, "That's a lie." And then Andrew Cuomo, the governor, is going, "La jealousia, you have la jealousia for me."
I want and the then- mom to come out with like cans,
like a
in her
shoe,
hair.
Like a slipper, and like beat them with this,
and just a loaf of Italian bread.
Chris Cuomo made it. He's like, he made Andrew Cuomo, it looked like, genuinely upset for the first time that he's been on the show because he told him, "Pop always said you were bad at basketball. You had hands like bananas." And Andrew Cuomo's like, he's like, "Pop never said that."
Wow.
incredible stuff. And Chris Cuomo is always guilting Andrew Cuomo and just like calling his mom. He's like, "Well, I spoke to mom and she said she'd love to hear from you." And she's like, "Well, I just got off the phone with her and she said I was her favorite." Just strange, ridiculous stuff. Oh,
do you
God.
Find either of these men handsome?
I don't find Chris Cuomo not handsome, but I know people who we are both very close with who will remain unnamed refer to themselves as Cuomosexuals.
So, really?
I think Andrew Cuomo looks like the real life Mo Zizlak.
Yes. Oh, that's perfect.
And kind of sounds like him too. So always see him as Mo Sizlik. Yeah. Hey, Midge. How you doing, Midge? I love him. But yeah, incredible. I've been delighted by that. Then they'll banter, and then Chris Cuomo will always sign off. He'd be like, I'm signing off. Thank you, Governor, for joining us. I love you. I love you.
Wow.
Which is just incredible to see on a news program, like out of context. It's just like one reporter telling the other person they love him. And
it's like Andrew Cuomo talks with a governor.
It's incredible. Yeah. Right. Like, amazing. And then the governor turns around. He's like, no, you're better than me. You are. You're the one who's better than me. It's like this insane back and forth. I've truly been delighted by every appearance the governor has made on Chris Cuomo's show.
Well, you know, you got to look for the silver linings, don't you, Janine?
Oh, you sure do.
All right, let's put this baby to bed. Janine, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Pop Culture Man Children is a podcast that can be found anywhere that podcasts are made available. Stitcher, radio.com, an old vitriola, right. If you have one.
Spotify,
all the ones, all the things. Mm-hmm. You can follow at PCMC Pod on Twitter, and you can follow Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram. All right, Janine, sign us off.
All right, go. Bye-bye.